All right. We want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. So the Macedonian churches that Paul's referring to are the churches that he started on a previous trip in northern Greece. If you remember several weeks ago, I put up a little map. It was the Via Ignatia, across Greece. And Rome was notorious. They were awesome at building roads, and they built roads across Greece. And so, you know, Paul would travel these roads, and then he'd branch off and go to Philippi, and he'd branch off and he'd go to Thessalonica, and he'd branch off and he'd go up to Berea, and branch off, right? So that's basically what he did and kind of how churches ended up getting started. And he's writing back to a church in Corinth, and he's writing back to that church about those churches that he started. With me? Didn't lose you on the road somewhere? Now, Corinth is a major metropolitan city. There's all kinds of people there. It's a large seaport, a major trade center. It's filled with every thought, every kind of religious, every kind of thing that could happen under the sun was happening there. And the church in Corinth would have been made up largely of Gentiles, non-Jews. Paul established this church, the Corinthian church, on his second journey around the area. And he writes them to encourage them, even in the midst of their struggle. He's addressing problems that have become aware to him through his disciple, if you want to say it that way. Timothy has been reporting to him concerning some churches, and so he's writing to the church in Corinth. And this is one of the things that he's writing. I mean, he deals with some of the problems and some of the issues that they deal with, idolatry and immorality and things like, I don't know, the church still deals with 2,000 years later. Not much new concerning people. People have been people as long as there's been people. That church in Corinth was under constant threat by false teachers. And they slandered Paul. They tried to cut him down and the things that he did. They questioned all of his authority and what right does he have to speak and to tell and to share about the gospel of Jesus Christ. But Paul emphasizes a very clear and a very simple message concerning the gospel. And he urges them to grow in their faith. Is anybody in here today interested in growing in their faith? One of those things that he talked about concerning to the Macedonian churches, to the Corinthian church, was their area of generosity and giving. Sharing. I know a lot of people cringe when the church talks about money, or they feel weird, or they get uneasy or unsettled. I do not. I do not get unsettled or uneasy about that. In fact, I wish I could talk more about money because people could benefit a lot from talking about money instead of avoiding it, instead of ignoring it. Or instead of the fear of the conversation of what other people might think, we need to gain an understanding of God's view concerning money. Amen. Plain and simple. Yes. We need to act accordingly. Act the way the Bible instructs or desires for us to go, not the world. People get instantly suspicious when the church starts talking about money or fear or dread. Some get very angry. As if now God is getting too personal. Interesting. I want a personal God. Do you? I want a God that's involved in my finances. Do you? I want a God that blesses my finances, watches over my finances, gives me good discernment over my finances, good wisdom towards my finances. I need a personal God. Amen. Not some God out there, some God that's in here.
Come on, come on.
I need to learn about good stewardship over what God has already given me and what he's already entrusted with me. I need to learn what to do, what not to do, to make wise financial decisions. Early on, I was all about money. I earned my certification in financial planning. I got an advanced degree in philanthropy. So I've been to a lot of seminars about money. Been to a lot of teachings about wealth, taxation, charitable gifting, microeconomics. Read a lot of stuff on nonprofit organizational structures. And I truly, when I first came out of being a CFP and the Lord was bringing me into theological studies, I thought, what a waste of time I had just spent on all that money, learning all about that stuff and the ways of the world, and then I had to now study the Bible as if they were going in two different directions. And I learned, wow, what a huge benefit that God had given me. I had never, God does not waste anything in any experience that has come into your life. He will utilize it. It took me several years to kind of grab hold of it. Man, that's absolutely right. And I wish now even more ministers would come to understand the operations of a nonprofit organizational structure that is incorporated within the United States of America. There'd be a lot less pain in pastors' lives. There'd be a lot less pain in the churches if they only understood God's ways, if they only understood the ways of economics and money. There'd be help for the church and help for a lot of people. So, are you afraid to talk about money? Yes. Embarrassed about it? Ashamed about it? Does anybody in here use money? Show of hands. Show of hands, anybody who might want to use some money. You know that stuff that says, in God we trust, right on it. What's your attitude toward it? What's your attitude when the scriptures mention it? What's your attitude when the church mentions it, when the pastor starts talking about it? Don't be afraid to talk about it. One of those seminars that I went to is one of those wealth training seminars. You know who doesn't talk about money? Those that don't have any or misuse it. That's who doesn't talk about it. And you're already talking about it anyway. You're already talking about it. You're already using money. Car payments, rent, mortgages, electric bills, health costs, taxes, charitable gifts, clothes, cell phones, college costs, food expenditure, gas, inflation. It's all about economics, money. Everything costs money. And we complain about it a lot, don't we? We complain a lot about money. Jesus talked more about money, riches, and poverty than he did the kingdom of God. He talked more about money and riches and poverty than he did hell. So if you find yourself talking a lot about money, maybe you're more like Jesus than you realize. Here's one of the things about money. Money has potential. There's your first one. Money has potential. Does anybody know who our 30th president was? 16th. 30th president. 30th president. I'll give you the first name. You'll get it. Calvin? Calvin Coolidge. All right, there we go. Calvin Coolidge. He wrote this. No enterprise can exist for itself alone. It ministers to some great need. It performs some great service, not for itself, but for others. Or in failing to do so, ceases to be successful and would cease to exist. Calvin Coolidge, your 30th president. And that's kind of a pretty good reflection of the scripture passage Paul's writing about. Paul saying to the Corinthian church, it's not just about you. And so you're going to have to ask your own self, do you exist for yourself alone? You'll have to collectively come to a realization as a body of believers, as brothers and sisters in Christ, at New Life Alliance Church, do we exist for ourselves alone? Paul's addressing the Corinthian church. Brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God had given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of very severe trials, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. I testify that as that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. That's what he's writing to the Corinthian church about the Macedonian churches and their trials and their tribulations and their poverty. The spirit that was within them welled up generosity to give, even beyond really what they should and were able to give, on their own. How about that? Entirely on their own. No prompting, no pleading, no begging, no capital fundraisers. No shame, no embarrassment. The heart of generosity was within them. God gave grace to that church, to those people that think beyond themselves. They think beyond their own circumstance. They have a bigger picture in mind. And giving extends God's grace. Giving reaches beyond yourself. See, here's your next slide. See, giving's not a financial decision. It's a spiritual decision. They gave themselves, first of all, to the Lord. And then, by the will of God, also to us. First things first. You're going to have to give yourself to God. If you haven't given yourself to God yet, then this probably doesn't really apply to you, and you're probably really irritated that the church and the pastor is talking about money. So measure yourself, even right now. Because you might think it's about money when it's all about a heart condition towards money. It's all about your attitude towards money. People get upset that God is that personal. God is that personal. Some people think it's kind of, the Christian life is kind of like this. They hold back some parts of their lives, the parts that they want to control or they think they can control, right? So I've showed this slide before. This is kind of in a baptism. Everything that goes under belongs to God. You got that one for me, Jody? Can you see that one pretty good? Have given yourself completely to God. Everything went under. Everything that goes under is God's. See, I have a whole new spiritual term for you. Ready? Because we could probably ask each other this, which would not be a bad answer. Is your money saved? Is your money saved? Is your money saved? What? What do you mean? You need to save your money? Well, is your money saved? Are you saved? Well, what does that mean? Set apart, holy, sanctified for God's good purposes and God's good work to use and to guide. Are you saved? Yeah, I want God to use me and direct me and guide me. Is your money saved? Is your money saved? Did you save your money or did God? Did you save your soul or did God? Is your money saved? Paul's bragging about the Macedonian churches, that God's grace flows through them. God uses them to empower other churches and missionaries to continue God's work. They do not exist only for themselves. And so why would we give? Well, God would anticipate that we would give, that we would fulfill his plans in us and through us. We're all going to have to pay for things. Insurance, electricity, running water, communion cups. I can't think really of a better way to really give than to make sure that there's a solid Bible-preaching church in your community. What a great investment into the kingdom of God. I think we have a great church right here. I think it's worth investing in to make sure that there's a good Bible preaching, gospel teaching church in your community. You agree with it so much, you actually show up every once in a while. That's awesome. We want others to show up every once in a while too, that they'll hear the gospel, that they'll hear teaching, that they'll hear the truth, not fluff. They'll hear the reality about money, not prosperity teaching. They'll hear the reality about suffering, how it draws you closer to even to Christ. This campus loves to support other churches and support other organizations, official workers here and around the world. We try and we do a very good job of creating a kingdom culture here on this campus because we do think bigger than ourselves. And that's from the leadership down. We think bigger than ourselves because God is interested in people. And we do not merely exist only for ourselves. So give more. Give as much as you're able. Beyond your ability, like the Macedonian churches. And there's a new word we haven't heard in decades. Sacrificial giving. Whoa, what? That's not heard of much anymore in our lives of self-indulgence and privilege and our pleasures matter the most. Yet that's exactly what the scripture tells the grace of God is flowing through someone's life looks like. It blesses not only themselves, it blesses others. Money has great giving potential. Sacrifice. Do without to give. Whew. That's a whole new philosophy. As a matter of fact, it's philanthropy. And it's not about amount. It's all about heart. Parents know exactly what I mean. Parents. They do without so their kids can have. I watched my mom countless times sacrifice so that I could have a gift to give to my girlfriend Melinda. I watched my mom sacrifice her wants, her needs, her desire, all the things that she thinks she needs so I could have basketball shoes. Sacrificial giving, we know what it is, but is it worth it? That's the question. Is it worth it? Love often involves sacrifices, big sacrifices. How much do you love them kids? You'd sacrifice for that. How much do you love that house? Day in and day out, you sacrifice and work painstakingly over and over and over and over, 40, 60, 80 hours a week. I love that house. Work and you work and you work and you sacrificially. Give of your time and give of yourself so that you might enjoy. How much do you love your church? How much do you love your God? And he's sacrificially giving. You ever heard this before? You can't outgive God. Heard that before, right? Can't outgive God. Well, when you operate within the grace of God, that's a true statement. When you do things God's way, that's a truth statement. When you operate in the ways of the world, you find yourself probably a slave to the world. Hurt, debt, frustrated, inflation, running rampant in your own mind, in your own heart, and you got fear, and the world influences you. And offerings become God leftovers. We give God the leftovers instead of the first fruits. So ask yourself right now, what does God get in my life? Leftovers? Or does he get first place? See, once I've paid the world, there's rent and there's electric bill and water bill and car payment and my taxes and got to pay for out to eat and got to do this. And so once I've paid the world, then I can pay some God. Or is it first fruits to God? And I paid a word. You should ask yourself. We grow as individuals and as a church when we realize that we have enormous potential to become strong, prosperous, and a testimony that we serve God first. We give generously. We give sacrificially. When we bless others, we advance the kingdom of God. We do things God's way. All right? Watch. Somewhere along the line, it's going to get scary for you, if it hasn't already. Making sure that our giving has a purpose. So there's your next one. That there's a purpose. There's a purpose to your giving. Right? Take it from a chartered advisor in philanthropy. Make sure there's a purpose in what you're giving. What you're giving to. Right? Paul's writing to this church and expressing some wonderful attributes. Since you excel in everything, you're already exceeding. You're doing wonderful. You exceed in faith. You exceed in speech. Your knowledge is unfathomable. It's wonderful. In complete earnestness and in love, you have kindled love within you and given it away. Make sure that you also excel in the grace of giving. That's his charge. If your idea of good stewardship is hoarding, piling up all your money in storehouses, then you will not be a good fit into the kingdom of God. You will not be a good fit into the way God wants to do things in you and through you. See, God has given us so much grace. We experience and we taste and we love it. Oh, give it away. God's given you so much forgiveness, blessing, and give it away. He's poured out his mercy on you. You know what you experience. Give it away. God has blessed you and resourced you with finances. See, are you a spiritual medium, like a conduit? Like God can do things in you and through you? Mercy and grace and kindness and patience and love, all those wonderful attributes, and blesses you with finances and money, and you hold on. Are you a conduit? God just resourcing his kingdom through you? Or are you a stopping point? See, it's that the dam that blocks up spiritual and potential blessings in your own life, and you're doing it to yourself. The flow of abundance runs through you, or you think the flow of abundance runs to you. You can preach some good prosperity gospel right there, baby. It all runs to me. It all runs to me because it's all about me. God was all about me. Is it? The flow of abundance runs through you, or do you think that it runs to you? Stops at you. Listen, you become a damn problem for the kingdom of God. You hear me? You become a damn problem for the kingdom of God. You damn everything up. You do not release or invest or capitalize on the blessing God wants to pass through you. You hold on to it all for yourself. And I promise you, he will not use you anymore. You'll be damned. You'll be condemned. That's what damned means. You're condemned. And the blessings will stop. He knows he cannot use you in that way to fund his kingdom. And you've damned it up. You've become a damn problem for the kingdom of God. I should see that on Facebook somewhere. Are you a damn problem for the kingdom of God? You just watch all the people. What is that talking about? See, the commendation that Paul gives to the Macedonian church is how graciously they give. For the Corinthian church, the commendation is you love. You're so kind. You're wonderful in your speech. You have great knowledge. You have great goodness. Make sure you do not fall short in this area. Make sure that you also excel in this area. We all have time, talents, and treasures. We all have time, talents, and treasures. And oftentimes, many people feel as if, well, I give of my time, so therefore, I don't have to give of my treasure. You've damned it up. Many would say, you know, I give of my talents. You know, I come over here, I play the guitar, I sing, I'm here, I'm dedicated, I'm just, I don't have to give any of my treasure. Yeah, you've damned it up. You're excelling, but are you excelling in all things? Many would say, you know what? I roll them off, baby. There you go. I give my treasure. I don't have to give of my time or my talent. You've damned it up. You've damned it up. Make sure that you excel in all areas. How much of your life do you want saved? How much of your life do you want under God's control? How much of your life do you want God to instruct and guide? Well, everything but this, then you're not all God's. You feeling me? We must excel in all areas of our life. How much of you is God's? All of your heart, all of your mind, all of your money? Out of their affliction, out of their poverty, this was not easy for them to give. They gave out of their willingness. They viewed it like a mom. It was a pleasure to sacrifice in such a way for my children. It was a pleasure to sacrifice in such a way that my daughter could. It was a pleasure to give that my church, that God's kingdom may, that the international worker might get sent. How are we to give? Willingly, cheerfully, regularly. With that willingness in the heart and the grace of giving within us. I'm going to share something with you. It was just kind of an insight for me in the way in which I gained some understanding, and I hope that it might pass it on to you. I learned one of the ways in which I could feel rich. Because I had a poverty mentality. I hoarded everything and wanted to save because I was very insecure about future, very insecure about next month, very insecure about next year, very insecure about 20 years, right? So I would hoard everything. And that was a poverty mentality, a non-trusting mentality for the Lord. I had a victim mentality also. I felt as if I had to keep up. I felt as if I was being left behind, as if I did not have enough. See, Lord, bless me with $20. But I did not do what was right with the $20. Why should he give me 40? I was damning things up. Think the way in which God would think, and you'll get on the understanding of how God operates in God's economics. I felt at some point, as I gave, sometimes sacrificially, sometimes out of obedience, sometimes I didn't feel good about it, but I soon learned that God met all my needs and then some, and the feelings came. I started to feel as if I were rich. I realized that when I did things God's way, my feelings changed. My feelings changed. I didn't have a poverty mentality. I wasn't making any more money, but I did not have a poverty mentality. I wasn't making any more money, but I didn't feel like a victim of the world because I gave. I gave. I gave to God. I felt rich when I gave. I felt good when I gave, and I lost all of that belief that I was poor. I started to realize that I was everything that God said I was, secure. Is that what you said about me, God? You said that I'm secure in you? Yes, I believe it, so I started to live it. That I was victorious in this life? Is that what you said I am, God? Yeah, I started walking it. You said I can't outgive you, that I would give and that you would bless? Yes. Test me in this. He even writes it in Malachi. Test me in it. And I did. And I've been walking it ever since. And listen, if he could take somebody who was stuck in money, stuck in microeconomics, stuck in the ways of the world, studied the ways of the world, and studied money and honors, and then he could take him out of that, I know what he can do for you. See, the part of the issue with giving and generosity is that people have a poverty mentality. They have this victim mentality all the time. All the time they're poor. There's nobody poor in this room. Nobody. Not a one. You might think you are, and that's the problem. That was my problem. One of the ways I got over it was to give to God and then the world. God, I'm going to trust you first. Not with just my prayer life, but with my finances. I'm going to trust you first. Not just in, I'm going to be kind to this person that I want to slap. I'm going to walk the ways you want me to walk. I'm going to do this, Lord. Not just that way, but every way, including my checkbook. Are you all of God's or some of God's? See, you think you're poor. That's why you don't give. And you're rich already. God already said you are. If they would give out of the little that they have, they would feel much richer and lose the whole of this world that gives you the fear, that gives you the insecurity, that gives you the poverty mentality. That's the world that does that. God is not into amounts so much as he is into proportion. How much of the world has your money? How much of the kingdom of God has your money? Is your money saved? It's amazing to me how small a $50 bill looks at the grocery store and how big it looks in the church. The church had all these things going for it. They excelled in their faith and their speech and their knowledge and their love. See also that you excel in giving, because giving is a matter of priorities. There's your next slide, right? And that's proactive versus reactive. Giving is a matter of priorities. Your giving should have a purpose. Know what you give to and why. And if you can't tell me, then you don't have a purpose for your resources. God is resourcing you for yourself. There's nothing bigger about you than yourself. There's no cause that's bigger than you. See, and if you can't tell me, I'd imagine that the rest of your spending is probably pretty erratic too. No purpose, only self. You're damned up. Now, let's not be reactive. There's lots of good causes, right? There's so many causes. Get calls every week, right? Stuff on your phone. You know, politics is going to start rising up. Everybody's going to be looking for some money, right? Be a good steward and not reactive, but proactive, right? Do not give to things that are outside of your own giving purpose and why God has done what he has done. That's reactive. I say yes to things, which means I say no to other things. It gives me power. I give. I say yes to giving. I say yes, but what I say yes to gives me permission to say no to all the other things. I'm very secure in what God is asking of me to do with how he's resourced me. That makes me a good steward. That's what will make you a good steward. So many good causes, so many great fundraisers. Know what God is asking you to support and why. And truly, look into your own heart. God is funding you for something bigger than yourself. If it's go save the whales, go save the whales. If it's save the baby seals and the spotted, whatever it is, God is resourcing you. I support my local church and international workers. I believe in the kingdom of God and advancing the kingdom of God. you discover that within yourself, this is tied to the reason for your very existence, for why you are, where you are, and when you are. The cause of Christ working in you and through you. And I bet it involves some cash flow. I bet it might involve some resourcing that God wants to fund you for. Follow the money. Follow the money. Then you'll have to ask, is it God's agenda or is it mine? You know that saying, better to give than receive? Yeah. You know what happens if you're not a good steward? You don't know what that means. You only know the saying. You don't know the feeling. You don't know the experience of it. You don't get that. You miss the blessing that goes along with that. And when you get a taste of that, you want to do more of it. When God gets hold of you like that, there's nothing more than you want than to bless others more than yourself. That's Christ-like. That's Christ-like. If you want to make spiritual progress, live like the scriptures ask us to live. And we'll live a balanced and a blessed life. My life has a cause. Does yours? I serve the kingdom of God. Who do you serve? I invite you to join Jesus on this wonderful, magnificent journey in your life. In your life, doing things God's way, bigger than yourself. And your last one here, giving pattern, making certain that you're giving correctly, appropriately, extreme sacrifices. Jesus himself crossed out of the splendor of paradise and subjected himself to suffering and to pain and to death. Jesus showed that he was human when he died, as every human does. But he showed he was God when he resurrected to life. And he gives you himself, that you too may rise again. Patterns of this life need to be balanced. God first. God first, then the world. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added unto you. Today's communion tables for me, a little bit of forgiveness. God, forgive me when I'm selfish. Forgive me when I miss your ways. Cleanse me and make me whole. Save me, and are you ready? Everything about me. Everything about me. My checkbook, my car, my house, my attitudes. Save me, Lord. Save all of who I am. If I have the elders come forward, let me pray for you. Father in heaven, I pray that today's word seeps deep into the hearts of your people. And Father, that as you lead, inspire, and guide, and teach, and lead, Father, we would also be generous in our giving, our time, our talents, and our treasures. May we live a balanced life. Yes. And Father, may you be our priority. May we make spiritual decisions, not financial decisions. May we make spiritual decisions, not economic decisions. May our lives be given over to you, all of who we are. In the name of your Son. Amen. Communion tables before you. You do not have to be a member of New Life Alliance Church. We only ask, gentlemen, you can come up. Only that you've accepted Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And then we say, welcome, brother and sister. Partake with us. If that's enough. Dad, Miss Barbara, please. Bless us.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the communion table set before us, Lord. We pray that as we take communion, the bread and the cup, we pray, Lord, that you will deepen our understanding of the sacrifices, of the giving, the sacrificial giving that you made on the cross for us. Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord Jesus, in your name. Amen. Trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know thus saith the Lord.
Body of Christ, let us partake together. Your blood was shed upon the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. As we partake, may we do this in remembrance. Glenn, say a prayer for us to Mr. Elder in charge.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for making the ultimate sacrifice for us, for shedding your blood for your creation, Father. I just thank you for the opportunity for us to take this time, each month, and each day, to remember your sacrifice and your cleansing blood.
Sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease. Yes, Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust Thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend, and I know that Thou art with me, will be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Jesus, 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 oh, for grace to trust Him more.
Thank you. Oh, my dear. And the body of Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. Let us partake together. Father in heaven, we pray that you might continue to work within us and through us. Guide us, Lord, that we might be more Christ-like. In the name of your Son, amen. Offering, yes.
I'm just going to say a prayer over this offering. I think we're just going to have the elders do it this morning since we're up here. Pray with me. Dear Father, thank you for just letting us come to this place, Father, during this 4th of July, that we just have the independence of just preaching you in public. Father, what a privilege, Father. And just it's a privilege that I ask that you help us not to forget. Father, I just thank you for the resources that you give this church. Thank you for the resources that you give us. Father, remind us whose they are in the first place, that we're just here to, as he said, just to disperse your goodness, Father. We just thank you for the